Well, many of you in the audience may remember that June 8th, 1963 concert that Pete Seeger gave at Carnegie Hall, and he's introducing one of the songs. The song is called "I Ain't Scared of Your Jail Because I Want My Freedom." And he's introducing the song, and he's talking about Martin Luther King, and Martin Luther King says to the crowd, "This is going to be a silent demonstration. I don't want any shouting or cheering, and if they shout at you from the outside lines, just walk on by until you get arrested, and that's when the singing can start." Well, in that spirit, I have to tell you, this is Fighting Bob Fest. It's a 501c3 event, and so we're not doing any political speechifying. Of course, until we get arrested, and then the singing can start. With that in mind, I want to give a very warm welcome to my friend Mark. Pocan has been a great supporter of us at the Progressive, of Fighting Bob Fest, of the state of Wisconsin. He and I traveled through rural El Salvador together when he was doing magic tricks for the kids, and he still does those magic tricks on his YouTube channel or Facebook page. And he has represented us here in the 2nd Congressional District faithfully and continues to do so, as well as supporting other candidates around the country. And let's give a very warm welcome to our Congressman, Mark Pocan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It is great to be here at Bob Fest. We are here to celebrate all that the progressive movement and Fighting Bob La Follette means to our state and our country. And let's face it, we need to celebrate a little bit. We are in one of the most challenging times, I would argue, of almost all of our lifetimes. Both in Washington and Wisconsin for progressives and for really anyone who cares about democracy. Look at Washington. We have a president who's the most unpresidential president in our history. He's a terrible role model for our nation. He's the most corrupt administration in our memory. Corruption from his family and he trying to enrich himself to the corruption of his ideas and values. He's an egotist, a narcissist, a bigot, a prevaricator. And just this week, just one tweet where he denied the fact that 3,000 Americans were killed from a hurricane in Puerto Rico because it made him look bad. These are tough times. You know, look at who surrounds this person and this administration. Just look at the circle around him. His campaign manager, his deputy campaign manager, his national security advisor, and his personal attorney have all pled guilty to serious charges. And the Mueller investigation, I'm sure you've heard Republicans, hopefully you're watching a little more MSNBC than Fox, but if you watch Fox, you'll hear a lot of people saying it's time for the Mueller investigation to end. It's just going on too long. Let me let you know just how long it's going on compared to a few other investigations. The Benghazi investigation went 4 years with zero indictments. The investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails went 2 years, zero indictments. We are at month 16 for the Mueller investigation. There have been at least 35 indictments and over 100 charges. I think you have a good idea why they want the Mueller investigation to end. The worst part for me is the body I belong to, which is a co-equal branch of government, has been completely complicit from the leadership in Congress. Paul Ryan, I always pause because that usually follows, and Mitch McConnell. I'm going to say Paul Ryan again. Paul Ryan. All right. I just like that one to get a little bigger groan. We are from Wisconsin, right? So they essentially sit at the feet of the president and every now and then roll over and get their bellies rubbed. They have not stood up as leaders of a co-equal branch of government. So we need to make so many changes, but we need to stand for something, not just against something. We need we need to stand up to all the corruption that's happening in Washington right now. You know, I have to give the president credit for probably having the most memorable line during the campaign cycle when he said, we're going to drain the swamp. It resonated. Bernie Sanders said the system is rigged. Very much a similar message to a different audience that had the same reaction. People do think there's a problem in Washington with the special interests. In fact, we did a poll from the Progressive Caucus, and we found when you add to the swamp big corporations and big banks, you get even more of a reaction. And yet, we have to do something about that corruption. We have to address campaign finance and ethics. And we have to make sure that our elections are trusted as fair. Because all the issues we care about are affected by that corruption. Look at healthcare. We right now are having death by a thousand cuts to the Affordable Care Act. The tax bill that was passed last November, where they took away the individual mandate in October, health insurance rates for everyone will go up likely between 8 and 30%. Because of what happened in November. And yet, why do we not address healthcare? Why do we not address prescription drug prices? Why do we pay 20 times the price of a drug that it is in Ireland or Canada? It's because of all that corruption. Now, the good news, and there is plenty of good news, is that there was a poll from Reuters that came out 2 weeks ago. 70% of people in this country support Medicare for All. And we are seeing good news in polling on issues like investing $1 trillion in infrastructure, addressing climate change, having a rational immigration system, a sane military policy, investing in education, and a whole lot of other issues. But everything is contingent on November. Now, we happen to have a U.S. senator that can't be here tonight, but I think we'll get a different reaction when I say her name, Senator Tammy Baldwin. Now, I am not here to say vote for or vote against anyone. This is not that function. However, I think we all know how much Tammy has done for our state and how she's fought for so many of those issues I just mentioned. So. And in Wisconsin, we have a Trump wannabe in Governor Scott Walker. It's as simple as this. He has been governor for 8 years, and we have bad roads. We have to fight for funding for our schools. Too many people need health care, but he had $4.5 billion for a foreign corporation that's giving contracts to his contributors. That's the summation of Scott Walker in 8 years in office. Now, the good news is people are keen to this. They're understanding this. And I think you saw the perfect Scott Walker meltdown last week when the issue of taking a knee came up with the NFL. Scott Walker had 14 tweets in one day about taking a knee. Now, Donald Trump occasionally, when he gets excited, will do 3 or 4 tweets. Right now, Scott Walker is making Donald Trump look competent. So we know he's in trouble. So we need a governor for all the people of Wisconsin. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but if there Evers was a chance to take out Scott Walker, this is it. I think I got away with that one. All right. We have a real chance at a blue wave, a real progressive movement, and not just a moment. But we need to reach out to our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and people we don't know yet. We have to engage in a positive conversation about the future and not just go out and attack. People are hungry for real change, not just new faces and old ideas. And as progressives, we represent that real, honest change. Can we have a system like Canada and most of Europe where healthcare is a right and available for every single person? Because everyone should have the health care that's as good as a member of Congress? Can we clean up the corruption in D.C., by reducing the influence of special interests and fixing our campaign finance laws and ending gerrymandering once and for all? Can we invest in our nation, not just big corporations and the 1% like the Republicans did in their tax bill, but can we invest in our roads and bridges, our schools, our water delivery systems, and our broadband, and at the same time create good-paying, family-supporting jobs? Can we finally reverse the effects of climate change by accepting the science of 98% of scientists who say that we are causing our planet to heat up to dangerous, perhaps unreversible levels? And can we have a system of immigration that works for aspiring Americans and a military that is scaled back to focus on their core mission and not on nation building? And can we have a country that invests in education and apprenticeships and real training? We can have a progressive action plan in Wisconsin and in Washington if we all commit to making that happen, starting on November 6th. By getting out everyone we know to vote, by making those phone calls and knocking on those doors and supporting candidates who support your values, we have the wind right now on our backs. Our base is motivated. Theirs isn't so sure. But there's a unique thing we're seeing around the country, and we saw in Wisconsin in the two special state Senate race elections we had. The suburban voter, the person who's not a Democrat, not a Republican, not a progressive, not a conservative, often it's a woman in a suburban area who is just tired of having to be forced into awkward conversations with their kids about porn stars and S-holes and very fine Klansmen and Nazis. We are seeing this set up if we get everyone out to vote. So let's really honor the tradition of fighting Bob La Follette. Let's fight for the little guy and gal. Let's fight for the common person. Let's fight for those progressive values. And let's win it by honoring the tradition of Wisconsin and fighting Bob La Follette. Thank you very much. And let's have a great November. Thank you.
Well, we have a grand tradition here in Wisconsin. It's expressed in Fighting Bob. It's expressed in the wonderful public art that we talked about. It's expressed in people like Mark Pocan. It's also expressed in the music of the struggles here in Wisconsin. And we heard from the Raging Grannies. They have a CD out that they put together a year or so ago. Yes? There's another CD that's just come out. It's called Cheddar Revolution, Songs of Resurgence. It's the sequel to the CD that came out during the 2011 protests. You can grab one of these cards out in the lobby, and you can download the entire album. And if you don't know how to do that, your kids will do it for you. But you can download it, and you can burn it on a CD, and then you can record it to a cassette, and then you can play it in my car, which still has a cassette player. Well, as I said, this isn't a partisan political event, but our next speaker is somebody who has oftentimes referred to Fighting Bob Fest as a political party. In fact, he says it's the best political party in the country. Please give a warm welcome to our longtime friend and supporter and really inspiration of Fighting Bob Fest, Jim Hightower.
Hello. Hello, Wisconsin. Thank you. Thank you so much. And what a joy. Thanks to Norm Stockwell and to our sponsors, the Progressive and the Capital Times and WORT, for bringing us together in this 17th annual Bodacious Babapalooza that we've got going here. And thanks for allowing a scruffy Texas populace to come back in here. Proud to follow Mark Pocan. I would follow Mark Pocan almost anywhere, I would think. What a great leader he has been. Coming up, we got Sarah Lloyd, we got Will Durst, we got Ruth Conniff, we've got John Nichols, the whole gang. This is a happy, happy family occasion. Just makes me happier than a chigger at a nudist colony to be standing up here looking out at all of you corporate greed whackers, you Republican butt kickers. This is the 17th annual Bob Fest, I'm told, and I have been to 14 Bob Fests out of those 17. I'm kind of like a backward goose. You know, this time of year, the goose goes south, I go north. You know, I fly right up here to Madison because this is special to be here with the big Wisconsin progressive family, kind of a quasi-religious experience for me, but with good beer. Which makes it all the better. And I come because you have a passion for politics. As we say down in Texas, a passion hotter than high school love. And that's what it's going to take to make a big difference here. But I also want to thank the guy who brought us all together originally 17 years ago. Everybody say Ed. Yeah. Yeah. Now let's say it again so he can hear it. Everybody say Ed. Yeah. Wow. Terrific. A joy to be back here at the Barrymore in this Trumpian summer of our discontent. A time, as Mark was indicating there, to organize, to strategize, harmonize, and mobilize, not to take America back, but to move America forward, and all Americans forward in the spirit of Franklin Roosevelt, who in 1936, in his reelection campaign, said, "Join me in this campaign, not to vote win votes alone, but to restore America to its own people." That's what we're about, taking it back for the people and moving it forward for the people. Obviously, we live in strange times, governed by the Trump freak show of Goofy, Daffy, Sleepy, Sleazy, Larry, Curly, and Moe. I think of them as ironic conservatives. You know, Jack Nicholson said that he never understood the meaning of the word irony until one day his mother called him a son of a bitch. Well, these sons of bitches are claiming to be anti-big government conservatives. No big government, they say, unless you happen to be a woman. And then big government's going to intrude on your decision about your own health and your own body. No big government unless you happen to believe in local control. You want to vote for paid sick leave in your community. You want to ban fracking in your community. Oh, no, they say, we can't allow that, so we're going to have state preemption of your local control. No big government? What about the hundreds of refugee children trying to come across that Mexican border and being stripped out of the arms of their parents and put in what amount to camps? And a judge down in Texas, Jeff Sessions put them on trial, said they had to go to trial. And a judge in Texas had a two-year-old sitting in the dock. And the judge said, "How do I explain immigration law to a two-year-old?" Well, the issue is not explaining it to the two-year-old in the court. The issue is explaining it to the two-year-old in the White House. That's our problem. I come to you not just from Austin, but South Austin. On the south side, we're a little more irreverent. Molly Ivins lived over there, John Henry Falk, all of our kind of iconoclastic group. And our unofficial slogan on the south side is, "We're all here because we're not all there." And I think that's what brings us together, the Barrymore, here tonight, because we know that the powers that be are not at all there in terms of grasping the meaning of America. They're as confused as goats on AstroTurf when it comes to understanding that we're all in this together. It's not just the few, the Trump family and the corporate elites, but the many who count. Not the moneyed elites and the corporate supremacists, but the powers that be. I don't mean the Trump clown car, those corporate supremacists who put them in the car and are driving it, but I mean the downsizers and privatizers, the Walmart wage whackers and big oil frackers, the Wall Street plutocrats and Koch brother kleptocrats, and a group that I call the six B's, the bosses, bankers, billionaires, big shots, bastards, and bullshitters. They think they're the top dogs and we're just a bunch of fire hydrants out here in the countryside, you know. They're knocking down the middle class, holding down the poor, and tearing down our democratic rights. Actually, economists have a technical term for what they're doing to us. It's called stealing. Remember that song that Woody Guthrie had about outlaws? Pretty Boy Floyd, the outlaw, had a verse in it that says, through this world I travel, I see lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun and some with a fountain pen. It's the fountain pens who are doing the serious stealing in our society today. Well, that's who they are, and that's who they've always been. The core of American politics has always been the struggle between the privileged few and the many. And it comes down to this essential political thought. Too few people control too much of the money and power in our society, and they use that control to get more money and power at our expense. That's the fight we're in. That's the fight we've always been in. And here we are again. So my message to you, and I'm sure you're wondering what it is by now, is this. It's up to us. Up to us. It's not up to Trump and the GOP. It's not up to the Wall Street elites and the Fortune 500. It's not up to the Democratic National Committee and the DCCC. It's not up to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. It's up to you and me. We're the ones, as Bernie and Elizabeth say again and again, who have to make the difference. What are we going to do? And amazingly, we still have too many go slow, don't rock the boat, corporate Democratic leaders and some leaders of progressive organizations who say, well, we shouldn't be too strong. We ought to just, you know, kind of be careful. We should keep our ship, our Democratic ship, in a safe harbor and let the Trump tempest blow over. Well, a ship can be put in a safe harbor, but that is not why ships are made. Ships are made to go into dangerous waters, and that's where we have to go, because the waters are roiling out there. And the good news is that the American people are revolting in the very best sense of that term. We hear the term resist. We must resist Trump. Well, certainly we must, but I've got a bigger program than that, the RIP program, the RIP program. Resist, insist, and persist. Resist Trump for sure. Insist on a bold progressive program and persist for the long haul. We're not going to win it all in 1 year. We're not going to win it all in 10 years. It's a long-term battle we're in. My friend Willie Nelson once told me, he said, Hightower, the early bird might get the worm, but it's the second mouse that gets the cheese. So keep that in mind. Again, the good news is that a nationwide movement of Democratic populism is on the move. Upstart grassroots groups and coalitions of groups are forming, have formed, and are taking action at a local level all across the country. I'm very active in the Our Revolution group that came out of the Bernie campaign. And we're not looking just to turn America blue. We want it to turn a bright Bernie blue. But we're not But we're not alone in this. Black Lives Matter, the Working Families Party, Indivisible, Elect Her, the National Nurses Union, Teachers Unions, West Virginia, Arizona, Oklahoma, Washington State, Moral Mondays, led by Reverend William Barber, the DSA, the League of United Latin American Citizens, Come Alive Anew, an old group, Come Alive, and a new group of Latinas called JOLT, which means simply jolt the system. That's what they're after. All of these, new activists, new energy, new skills, new unity. We're on the move. I think of this whole group in terms of a little hardware store near my home in Austin called Harold's Hardware. Been there a long time. It's not one of these big box stores. It's not half the size of this auditorium, but it's a great place. You don't have to buy that whole carton of nails. You could buy two nails. They'll sell you two nails if that's what you need. And they say, well, what are you trying to do? Well, I want to build a lectern. Well, let's pencil it out here and see what you need. They'll loan you a tool. You could take a power saw home and bring it back. And the slogan at Harold's Hardware is, together, we can do it yourself. That's got to be our slogan, doesn't it? We can't do it ourselves, but if all of us come together in this movement, understanding each other and giving room for each other and harmonizing with each other and then mobilizing, we can do anything, including building a little D democratic society at long last in the United States of America, which has been its goal from 240 years ago. Our revolution, just to give you an example, again, I'm very active in it nationally and in my state of Texas, and I work with Joel Rogers and all the great group people here who are doing it with our Wisconsin revolution. It is an independent, democratic, aggressively progressive political movement that is electing people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York, like Ben Jealous in Maryland, nominee for governor, like Andrew Gillum in Florida, nominee for governor, like Stacey Abrams in Georgia, nominee for governor, like Ayanna Pressley in Massachusetts. We're on the move. We're not just running for office, we're winning office. In my state, Texas, we've got 12,000 members of our revolution. That's bigger than any labor union in the state of Texas. And we are running everywhere, not just in Houston and San Antonio and the Rio Grande Valley, blue areas. We're running in the red areas. We're running in the rural areas. We're in Tyler. We're in Lubbock. We're in Wichita Falls. In Wichita Falls, they say, it's not the end of the earth, but you can see it from here. Well, it can be the new earth, the new beginning, if we just get out there and get with those people. They're ready to do something, ready to begin to fight back, and we're winning 45% of the races that we enter. We are winning those races, 45%. And these are... And the same thing here in Wisconsin. These are no-name candidates. They have no money. They have no established... organization behind them, except the people and the ideas that they represent. We elected a guy, he's an 18-year-old high school student in Pearland, Texas. That's a suburb of Houston. And he's an 18-year-old senior in high school. And he defeated the incumbent school board president. He is now on the school board in Pearland, Texas. And we did it by him talking to his colleagues in the high schools in the area, and then them talking to their parents, and then expanding from there. That's the way we build an organization. We took on the Democratic Party. We ran in 18 races for the state Democratic elective executive committee. We won 10 of those races in June in Texas. We're on the move, and this is Texas I'm talking about, you know. And it's not just candidates, we're also taking on issues. We're running the Healthy Texas Initiative, which is Medicare for All in the state of Texas. We've never had a bill introduced in the Texas legislature for Medicare for All. Now we've got a bill, and we're going to introduce it, and we're going to every state legislator, we're going to push them to elect it. Mike, the thing is, We should not make knee-jerk assumptions about who people are. Texas is not a right-wing state. It has been a non-voting state because they haven't had much to vote for. And now we're going to give them something to vote for. And we're going to organize them and rally them. They will be the candidates. I grew up in a little town in Texas, up on the Oklahoma border, Denison, Texas. And I was a small guy in a small town, and there would be, it's a kind of a rural culture there, and so there'd be the occasional fist fight. And I learned early on that you should never hit a man with glasses. You should use something much heavier. And the heaviest thing that we have are you, the people themselves. We organize the people and let them take it out there. Our slogan of our revolution is, we're not here to protest the government, we are here to become the government. And that's what we have to have going. I know the powers that be, the corporate powers, the media powers, even some of the democratic powers say, well, you can't do that, you can't beat the money, they've got all the money, they got all the media, they got all the power behind them, you can't possibly win. But as a friend of mine who's been a pioneer in the organic movement put it to me some years ago, he said, Hightower, those who say it can't be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. And that would be you. You are the ones who are doing it. You're the only ones who can do it. And so we're doing it together all across this country. I'll leave you with this thought. It's from a great Southern humorist, Louis Grizzard, who said something years ago that we all in the South know to be true, which is that there is a great big difference between being naked and being naked. Being naked means you have no clothes on. Being naked means you have no clothes on and you are up to something. So let's get naked together. Thank you very much. Proud to be with you. Bob Fest forever.
Jim Hightower. You know, Jim wasn't able to be here last year, as folks remember it, so we had a thing going with his hat, where I had his hat under the counter here, and I handed it off to Tom Frank, and then Nina Turner wanted it, and they were fighting over the hat, and Nina Turner still talks about getting to wear Jim Hightower's hat last year at Bob Fest.